I always love being up here. I always love sharing. As always, this is not meant for condemnation. This is meant for us to grow, right? This is meant for us to challenge, to be challenged. It's okay to be challenged in this life. It's okay. It's how we're still walking after that challenge. All right? So, I'm going to be talking about forgiveness today. It's something that I've experienced in my life, and you'll hear my testimony about it. But I want us to be growing so that we can experience the fullness of God. I spoke on it before, but there is a fullness that we can experience in this life, and it comes through growth in Him. It comes through getting the garbage out of our lives and letting Him do His work in us. Because whenever we try to do the works ourselves, weird, it always fails. You know, we always struggle. And yes, sometimes I feel like I'm struggling, but the end result is good when I'm being led by the Lord, when I follow His path for me, because His path is good. So my main points today are going to be hatred, forgiveness, and then how all that ties into the love of God, because I have a hard time speaking lately not about the love of God. Because it is so, so vitally important that we understand God loves us. He wants the best for us, and He wants to fill you up so full with His love. That's what changed my life, was understanding that He loved me because everything I was doing was not working. So I heard this quote from a friend, actually, and I don't know that it's original, but I like it. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does change the power of the past. You know, how many times do we live in the past? I was living in the past. I know people who still are living in the past and just gripped by the past. Not stepping forward, not growing, not moving ahead, just stuck in the past. And the hurts and the pains, and I'm not denying that we've all experienced those things, but there's better now and there's better for the future. Let's tap into the better instead of focusing on the negative. We're deceiving ourselves if we think that hatred or unforgiveness doesn't affect us. It affects you spirit, soul, and body. There is nothing that hatred does not affect, and I can attest to it, and I'll get to that point. But there is nothing that unforgiveness, and I just learned something. I just learned that unforgiveness is not even a word. I learned that. It's not in a dictionary. It's not anywhere. It's something that pastors brought up to give you the opposite of forgiveness. Or maybe they don't want hatred. Maybe it sounded better than hatred, but I'm going to use hatred too, because I think it drives home the point. Because really, if we're in unforgiveness, we're in hatred towards somebody. Really, that's the root. You know, we can smooth it out and make it sound a little better with unforgiveness, but it's really just hatred. So, through God, we can deal with it, right? Through God, through His word, we can overcome this. Through God and His word, I overcame it. So let's deal with it. So if you would, turn to 1 John. We're going to be there most of the teaching here. But I think from what I found, 5 times in 5 chapters, John talks about hatred towards your brother. And he brings a little different light. I wasn't going to speak on every one of them, but I might now, because I had a little revelation this morning about the other one. You know, I love John because I believe John had an amazing revelation of love. And I've said it before, but when he said, the one that Jesus loved, the apostle or the disciple that Jesus loved, I don't think he was being arrogant. I think he understood how much Jesus loved him. I think he truly understood the love of God. He laid his head on his breast and just soaked up God. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that's brought me through things, just picturing myself being held by God, being held by Jesus. And I think with that revelation comes the revelation of how hate can destroy us, how unforgiveness can destroy us, because they're the exact opposites. It's the opposing force. Hatred is the opposing force of love. So, 1 John 2, we'll read 9 through 11. Whoever says he is in the light, but hates his brother, is in darkness, even until now. Verse 10, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. With hatred comes deception and blindness because you're submitting yourself to darkness. It's not God doing it. It's us pushing God away and submitting ourselves to the darkness. So hatred, deception, blindness. I love verse 10, though. Whoever loves lives in light. What is living in the light? I guess my definition would be spiritual awareness, revelation, being led by the Spirit, spiritual growth. So all the positive things of the Spirit, all those things that he's supposed to be doing in our life, when we push out the hatred, when we push out all the junk that's keeping us from experiencing love, from hearing the Holy Spirit, because I know I was blocking it all out. And I could even hear, but I was rejecting it throughout my young adult life, just rejecting it, rejecting it, and rejecting it. It's not that he stopped talking, I just didn't want to listen. I believe it's that cloud. It's the darkness. It's the blindness, you know. 1 John 4, 20 through 21. If anybody says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For whoever does not love his brother, whom he can see, how can he love God, who he cannot see? We have this commandment from him. Whoever loves God must love his brother. You know, they're harsh verses, but I needed to be slapped around a little bit. And it's not always a bad thing to get, you know, corrected. Correction is not a bad thing when it's done in love. And I believe that's all this is correction. Because if you're walking down unforgiveness and you're walking in hatred, you're not experiencing the fullness of God. You never will experience the fullness of God because you're rejecting God. God will never force anything on us. Ever. He wants us to be willing participants. Because he's just forcing things on us, it's just dictatorship, and that's not love. True love gives you the choice. True love lets you choose, good or bad. You know, as parents, how many times have you wanted to step in your kids' lives and just fix everything for them? And we can see what's going on. You can see how their decisions are destroying their lives. But they have to live by their choices. Now we can be good influences and we can help and we can speak into their lives. But ultimately, we have to choose as individuals which way we go here. So the new commandment I give you, what was the commandment from Jesus? Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love? Jesus loved with everything he had. He gave everything he had. He took on the weight of the world. He took on all sin, not just some sin. He who knew no sin took on all sin. So we really got nothing we can complain about because he paid for it. He did it. Understand that. Receive it. Let it build up in you. Let those thoughts, those revelations build up in you of how much Jesus loves you. Just like salvation is received through confession and faith, we fix this the same way. We believe. And I confess and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for my role in this. And don't ever ruin a good apology with an excuse. Just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but just eliminates everything you just said you were sorry for. You know, like, there could be valid points, because we can all be lawyers at some time or another in our lives. Well, I'm justified because of this. You did this, so I'm justified. You did this, so my actions are justified. No. No. Because if I had been being led by the Spirit, I probably would have shut my mouth a lot more. You know, I love Jesus when he's standing in front of Pilate. And how much could Jesus had said to him to justify him? You know, Jesus could have solved everything right there. But he didn't say a word. Because he wasn't supposed to. How many times was I not supposed to say a word, but I just started running my mouth? And nothing good came from it. I'll challenge you with this. If you're dealing with lack of purpose, lack of direction, lack of vision, everything else is everyone's fault. Evaluate. Evaluate your heart. Evaluate where you're at. If you think more on how people have wronged you than you think on how God has blessed you, maybe it's time to evaluate. If your confessions are more about people's faults and what they've done, and not about what God is doing in your life, maybe we need to reevaluate. And I'm guilty of all this, and we're going to get to that in a second. So I have experience in this. I do. But it's easy things we can do to evaluate how we're walking in love. Are we letting the love of Christ shine through us, or are we just being like the world? Because it's really easy to be like the world. You just run your mouth. You say whatever you want to say, you do whatever you want to do, and you fit right in. When the love of God is working in your life, it doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter what other people say, because you know who you are. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know my promises. I didn't know that every word I spoke was a seed. Every thought I thought was a seed. What we say matters. I don't know if I can say it any better than that. What we say truly matters. You can find it in the Bible too. I don't have all the scriptures for it, but look it up. Get in the Word. My victories and my continued victories are going to be achieved through understanding Jesus' love towards me and applying the Word. And it works for everyone else the same way. Apply the Word to your life. Even when it hurts, even when you don't want to. There was plenty of times when my stubbornness just wanted to sit down and pout and cross my arms. But when you start experiencing victories, when you start experiencing peace, when you start experiencing love, that stuff starts to fade away. The Word of God works. Let it work in your life. So I'll go into my testimony here. So for most of my adult life, I harbored extreme bitterness towards an individual that I was very close to. For probably, we would go years and years. I mean, I think the longest we went without speaking was probably almost 7-8 years. And in that time, I could justify all of my feelings. I could. But it doesn't matter. What does the Word of God say about him? What does the Word of God say about my life? But that's not what I was focused on. So the other part that I didn't want to talk about is this. In 1 John, it says, if you hate your brother, you're no better than a murderer. And I didn't quite understand that at first, but then I was thinking about it this morning, and you don't have to physically kill somebody to kill them. Because what I was planting in my thoughts were death. Every thought I had towards this individual was death. Couldn't stand him. Couldn't stand what he was doing. Couldn't stand the way he was living. Yada, 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 yada. Couldn't stand how it was affecting me. You know. So I lived this for, good 14 years of just, and I always wondered, why can't I experience victory? What's wrong in my life? Why am I not moving forward? Why am I not growing up? But all my thoughts were on bitterness, envy, strife. Where there's envy and strife, there's every evil work. You don't want to know the thoughts I had. I don't even like talking about it, but it's a good example, and I'm up here, so I got to use it. I don't have a choice. When God says say it, you say it. But I'll tell you, when I started getting back in the Word, when I started getting revelation of who I was, I started reading these verses. And I was like, oh, dang. I need to fix this. I need to rectify this. And because I wanted to move forward, I had experienced some awesome victories. And I'd started to taste the goodness of God, and I wanted to keep moving forward. And I knew if I didn't fix this, I was never going to advance. I was never going to grow. I was always going to be stuck. And so, and I'll be honest, we didn't have a verbal conversation because things just weren't good. And I didn't always feel safe and yada, yada, yada. Because I just didn't know what was going to happen when we got together. And so I just didn't think we should be together. Fortunately, that's changing. Fortunately, there's new seed being planted. Fortunately, there's new growth, new fruit. But it came, I sent him a text message. And I remember writing that text message. And I could barely write because I was doing this. And I said to the effects of, I need to apologize for what I said to you and what I have done to you in the past. My actions were not right. And I ask for your forgiveness. It's really simple. But it was amazing. And God knew my heart. And it was amazing. The minute I hit send, it was like I could breathe again. It just went, and this weight just lifted, and it was gone. That's the power of God's love. That's the power of forgiveness. That's the power that God wants all of us to experience in this life. And that's the power that he wants to share with others who are struggling with all this. Because I truly believe that if we don't understand love, we can't move on. We can't continue to grow. Because I believe love is the catalyst to it all. How can I help you if I don't love you? I can sit up here and preach, but if I don't really love you, my words mean nothing. You know? If you say you need help and you need prayer, but I don't care, Where is the power in that? You know, and that's what hatred turned me into. I didn't care. I was really good at putting on a good face. I could smile at you and I could have a conversation with you and we could even talk God if you really wanted to. I knew enough to have a conversation. But in my heart, I didn't care. I didn't care at all. I had just so hardened myself to anything good because my only focus, and it was a burden that I wasn't meant to bear. I wasn't meant to bear this burden for my family. I wasn't meant to bear this burden alone. But it's amazing when you give it to God how things change. And it changed because I took a step. God wasn't kicking me. He was prompting me. But he wasn't going to kick me through that door. I had to make a choice, just like all of us have to make choices in our lives. For good, for bad, for life, or for death. And for far too long, I was walking in death. And the depression that I had, the anxiety that I had, the stress that I had, having no satisfaction in my family life, I know this was the root. And it was amazing the burden that was lifted when I did the simple thing of just apologizing. I mean, my flesh did not want to do it. Didn't. Like I said, I was shaking. I could barely write. All I could hear in my head was, "You're stupid for doing this. He's going to win. He's going to be the victor if you do this. He's going to have the upper hand now because he's going to think you're weak," and blah, on and on you go. Like, I can hear this. And maybe some of you guys have heard it. But as soon as I hit send, I'm telling you, it was like the chokehold was taken off. The burden was lifted. And life began again. Because I wasn't carrying other people's burdens. I wasn't carrying other people's problems. And I pray that I can minister into these problems someday. And I pray for reconciliation, because we're not there yet. But we can at least be around each other. We can talk to each other. My thoughts towards him are life now instead of death. I want him to succeed in this life. I want him. And I even had a little opportunity to minister through the whole text thing. You know? Because I know what he's going through. And he just needs the love of God. But if I don't love him, how does he see the love of God in me? If we don't love others, how do others see the love of God in us? We are his vehicle. Our love towards others reveals God's love in our life. That's how we're talked about. How do we love someone we can see, and then love a God we do not see? This is how you do it. You walk in love. You walk in faith. How did you receive salvation? You didn't see anything. Most of us probably didn't even feel anything. You know? But we did it through faith. And when we walk in love, we are stepping out in faith that my actions are exuding his goodness. That when people see me, they see something different. And I know it works because I've had conversations. Why are you different? And what an amazing opportunity to minister to somebody. We need to be different. You don't have to be different. That's the thing. Like, as always, all this is optional. It's all optional, but you can choose life or you can choose death. God wants the best for all of us. All of us. Choose it. Love is the key. It opens the door to wisdom, to knowledge, to understanding. Because like I said before, if we don't have love for anybody, why do we want to help anybody? I sure didn't. I was content sitting at home doing nothing. I wasn't content. I should take that back. I wasn't content. I was fine being miserable at home doing nothing. You know, like, that's really what it was. You know, and it's so sad to live a life like that. Because, man, when you get a glimpse of the goodness of God, when you get a glimpse of the love of God, you never want to go back. Yes, there's hard times to come, but I know who I am. I know my end result. I know he loves me. So it's all good. So as always, we can always use Jesus as an example because he's the direct representation of God, the express image of God. So over in Colossians 3:14, don't take your finger out of 1 John, but over in Colossians 3:13-14, it says, "Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a quarrel against anyone, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. And above all these things, embrace love, which is the bond of perfection." Embrace love. Because love opens that door. Love opens that channel between us and God to where the wisdom starts to flow. You don't have to know everything to love somebody. All you have to know is that Christ loved you so we can love them. The ability to forgive is in us because Jesus was able to do it. Don't ever think you can't. Jesus did it, we can do it. Whatever Jesus has done, we can do, and greater. I mean, just think of that. But that's why it's so important to know the character of Jesus. Because it's such an easy example. I mean, that's who we should be basing our life upon anyways. Because I remember back in this time, I didn't want to know anything about Jesus. Because I knew I would just be under condemnation from myself. You know, when you start to harden yourself so much and you start to go down those dark roads, you just build these walls of just ridiculous thinking. Just ridiculous ideas, ridiculous doctrine that has nothing to do with the Word of God, but for some reason, you're really smart, you thought it up, so it must work. You know, like, just the stupid things I thought and said and did. When all along, true freedom comes through Jesus Christ. You know? Oh, I could talk a lot about how stupid I was, but let's get to the goodness of God. So, above all things, embrace love. Love leads to perfection. Love is the basis. Love is the seed that produces every other thing you need in this life. Now, do we let people take advantage of us in the name of love? No. I don't believe that's godly. But we love the person and we hate the sin. Right? You know, if you're being abused, I would say get out of that relationship. Mentally, physically, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves because I wasn't strong enough and I didn't have the wisdom enough to grow, you know? I didn't have those revelations. And so if you're staying under that type of relationship and you're just constantly being beat down and you're not feeling yourself up in the Word, you got to get out and you got to get your head right. We got to get minds like Christ. We got to change ourselves a little bit. And yes, I did take a little break, but it was good because I came back ready with the Word. I came back built up on the Word. I came back ready to speak life instead of death into this situation. So I hope all this is making sense. But embrace love. Love is the bond of perfection. Love is what binds us to Jesus. Love is what releases all of that power that we want in our lives. Why isn't this working? Well, check your heart. Why am I not experiencing this? Check your heart. Because a lot of times I just believed it wasn't for me because I didn't know the Word. You know, Ignorance is not bliss. I used to say that a lot because I didn't want to know anything. I didn't want any help. Ignorance is death. Just absolute death. The word of God is life. The word of God is true. So go back to 1 John. 1 John 4. I'm going to read a lengthy bit of passage here, but it really drives home the point. 1 John 4, we're going to start in verse 7 and just keep going. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So love is God. That's what he is. That is his nature. You cannot change the nature of God. He is love. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. A good time to examine our hearts. Do I love? Are there places I need to clean up? And it's funny, you know, doing this, I've had other things, other people reveal to me that I should probably make some amends with. But it's a lot easier when I know the power that's behind it. It's a lot easier when perfect love casts out fear, because I know that on the other side of swallowing my pride and just being humble, that I'm going to receive a victory. And I'm going to keep moving on in the knowledge and wisdom of God. Verse 9, in this way, the love of God was revealed to us. So in this way, the love of God was revealed to us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's it right there. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, know Jesus intimately, not just a head knowledge. Head knowledge doesn't get us anywhere. We need to put these seeds in our heart, and we need to let these seeds take root and bear fruit. Sometimes it takes a while, but is the word truth? Do we believe that when we plant these seeds, they're going to grow and bear fruit? Is what's coming out of your mouth worth planting? Like I said, sometimes we just got to shut up. And that's okay. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Once again, love is Jesus Christ. Beloved, if God so loved us, we must love one another. Caveat, you don't have to, but you're not going to experience the goodness of God. We must, in the sense that if we want to move ahead, we must, in the sense that if we want to grow and we want to experience more in this life other than depression and anger and bitterness, yes, we must. But if you don't care, good luck. It's going to be a long, miserable life. Those 14 years or so felt like an eternity, because every day just, shouldn't use that word, every day was terrible. It just was terrible. You would wake up in the morning and dread the day. I would go to work, didn't care about work. I still worked hard because at least I remembered some lessons from my youth, but I didn't care, you know. Ample opportunities to minister to people, I didn't care. I can remember vivid conversations back then. And I don't use it as condemnation now, but I use it to spur me forward to not let it happen again. And I still let it happen sometimes, and I still kick myself. But God is faithful, God loves me, and I move on. So we don't have to do this stuff, but the quality of your life is much better if you do. So that's what I'll leave you with there. No one has seen God at any time. Verse 12, if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So once again, his love through us shows the world who he is. 13, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us the Spirit. So if you have the Spirit of God in you, you have the confidence that you are of him. I believe we all have the Spirit of God in us. And if we don't, we can change that when this is over. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Very simple, very straightforward, very easy to complicate. I don't want to love them. I don't care. Like I said, you don't have to love their actions. I didn't have to love what this individual was doing, but I needed to show him what true love was. You know, that probably would have got me a little further than what I chose to do. And it's hard. It's hard humbling yourself, especially when you know things are wrong. But what's God telling me to do? What's God telling you to do? That's the ultimate decider. You know, if we're having these classes, I'm being led in the Spirit, how to be led in the Spirit. Get rid of this stuff and it makes it a lot easier. You know? Get this junk out of your life. Get the unforgiveness out of your life. Get the hatred, the strife out of your life. And I guarantee you start hearing the Spirit a lot more. A lot quicker. You know? Because you're getting death out of you. You know, we may not be dead, but we can experience death. I was experiencing death for many years. You know, constant headaches, constantly just feeling like crap. Like my body just didn't like me, my head didn't like me, my thoughts didn't like me, I didn't like me, and I just didn't think anybody else liked me, so who cares? You know? And I know I'm not the only one that's ever felt that. I know I'm not the only one that's ever walked that, and I had a foundation in the church. I had a foundation in the Word, very little, but I did. And it wasn't anybody else's fault but mine. And that was the realization that I had to really grapple with. I could have chose better. We can all choose better, but I chose death, plain and simple. And I reaped the harvest of it. When I started sowing life, I started reaping the harvest of life. And I'm going to continue to reap it because you can't talk me out of this. I've experienced way too much now in these few years. And it's only taken a few years. That's the amazing part about it. When you just grab on to what God wants for you, he can take that time and just sometimes I don't even know what day it is because it's just going and going and going and it's awesome. I will not trade this for anything because victory is awesome. God is love. Second half of 16. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, God's love is perfected in us so that we may have boldness on the day of judgment because as he is, so are we in this world. Do you ever doubt judgment day? Do you fear judgment day? Do you fear going before the Lord? Let his love reign in you and you won't fear anything. Let his love abide in you. And you will not fear that. Let his love abide in you and you will go boldly before the throne of God. Because that's what his love does. His love builds confidence. confidence that he is good, confidence that he wants the best for us, confidence that we can live this life in fullness. Yikes. Good stuff. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears is not perfect in love. I challenge you this week, study this portion of Scripture. Meditate on it. Examine your heart. And if this isn't for you, I bet you know somebody that this could help. We love him, verse 19, this will be the last verse. We love him because he first loved us. In ourselves, in our flesh, we can never love good enough, long enough, hard enough. It doesn't matter. Because in us is just death. The nature of man is sin. But when you understand that he loved you so much that he died for you, he took your sin. He wants the best for you. He wants relationship with you. That's what Jesus wants, is relationship. That's why he died, because works never got anybody anywhere. Works will never get you anywhere. Understanding that he did it first and walking in his love is where you walk in victory. So, in closing, hatred, unforgiveness is darkness and separates you from the light. Choose the light. Take that step. Make amends. Let God do the work in you. As always, Jesus is our example. Embrace love. Heed the Holy Spirit and humble yourself. And replace fear with love. You want me to finish? All right. So I want to just say a prayer for anybody who's struggling with this. I just want to speak boldness over you. Father, we thank you that your Spirit is in us. We thank you that you want your love flowing in us. You want your love flowing through us so others in this world can see you, can see your goodness. Father, and I just, if anybody is struggling in this area of hatred and unforgiveness, Father, I thank you for the boldness and the confidence of your love to fill them right now. I cast out all fear right now, because fear is not love. Father, I thank you that we can walk in this. I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you want the best for us. And I thank you for the victories to come. The boldness to step out, Lord. The boldness to step out and choose you and choose life. I speak that into anybody who needs it right now. Father, I just thank you for this week to come. I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you have awesome things in store for us this week. Awesome opportunities to share your word. Awesome opportunities to bless others, Father. And I thank you for the harvest that's coming. And I thank you for the testimonies that are coming out of it as well, Lord. We just give you this week, and we say, use us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.